Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
How much has your confidence changed in Dak Prescott from August to today? A lot has changed, obviously, in the last 2 weeks. Back-to-back losses. I believe 4 interceptions thrown in the last 2 games. You know, first couple weeks, he looked like an MVP candidate. By the way, I'm Pat Doney from NBC5, filling in for Sean this morning on the Sean and RJ show, along with the guys here. Guys, when we were talking back in August, it was a huge debate. Do you pay Dak? Is he worth being your franchise quarterback, right? Is he worth $32 million, $35
million? $75, $100 million.
After the first 3 games, it was like, here's your check. You go and fill in whatever you want, Dak, right? Is what it looked like, even though the defenses were clearly atrocious. The last 2 weeks have been not great. 2 touchdown passes, 4 interceptions. His completion percentage, not awesome, although he had a career high in yards this last week.
Yards.
I mean, it was a pretty impressive showing from a yard standpoint, 463 yards, but obviously when you're down 31-3, that's going to impact your numbers from that standpoint. So my question for you, Chop, I want to start with you. Where were you on Dak back in August? Remind me one more time. It's been a month and a half since we've hung out here in the studio. Where were you 2 weeks ago, and where are you today?
Pay him $32-33 million
in August.
Yeah.
Okay. 2 weeks ago.
$32-33 million.
Same.
$32-33 million.
Nothing's changed.
Why would it? It's 5 games. He's now got 53 games of information. If you are going to, you know, flail around like the wind, like a flag in the wind, game to game, I think you are completely lost, and I'm glad you're not a general manager.
Yeah.
Okay. I said this in the offseason. If the first three years did not convince you Dak was the guy, then you already know that he's not the guy.
No right? chance to change your mind.
No, because you've already got 3 years of information. Now, guys can obviously take steps. Sure, but you could see signs. So if the Cowboys weren't, I said, if they didn't think he was the guy after this year or after this past year, then they already knew. If they didn't know, then they knew. You know when the girl you've gone out on 7 dates with, whether or not there's a future there. If you don't know by that point, then you know. Like, it ain't going to work.
The assumption that he has lost money after the last 2 games by having a couple of interceptions thrown that were, you know, disappointing for sure. And yes, he has 6 interceptions thrown this season. He threw 8 all of last season, 13 in 2017. He only threw 4 his rookie year. So he's already surpassed the number of interceptions thrown his rookie year. But we discussed this earlier in the show today, and I want to emphasize it a little more. Cowboys fans have been begging and dying for the Cowboys offense to make its transition from the 1990s into the 2020-2019 world. This Sean McVay, Sean Payton, Andy Reid with Patrick Mahomes world, where you ask your quarterback to do more. You ask your quarterback to take chances down the field. Because as RJ, you talk about all the time with your analytics crowd, you're talking about if you want to have any chance to really be one of the contenders in an elite offense, you have to throw the ball way down the field.
Not
right?
way down, just
well. I mean, more than they have in the past.
Yeah,
okay?
you got to pass the ball more, not necessarily down the field. You got to pass
the Cowboys
it more, take
have,
risks. Yeah.
Other than Seattle, the Cowboys have been more committed to running the football than any other team in the NFL. I would say since I arrived here in Dallas Fort Worth, this is my 7th season covering the team, and this season the offense just looks drastically different, right? Kellen Moore has come in with this new approach. There's motion. There's all sorts of shifting. They're throwing the ball down the field. I saw Amari Cooper run an out-and-up double move that I don't think I've seen a receiver run. I never saw Dez Bryant run one of those. That's not his fault. That's just the offense didn't have it in there. And what do you know? It's like a 45-yard completion where frankly, if the ball was on the money, it would have been a long touchdown. That was in this last game against Green Bay. But with that is going to come higher risk.
Did you put the blame on Dak or Amari for that?
I think it was a combination. I think that he lost his balance a little bit, and I don't think the ball was perfect.
It wasn't perfect.
But it doesn't necessarily have to be. This goes back to the interception as well.
Yeah, it was on
this is
body.
Why Amari took all of the blame after the game. And, I mean, you're talking about a career-high game for him. The best game he's had in his career, statistically. And he literally could not get past the interception that bounced off his hands, and for good reason. If you're going to be a 14, 17, 16, whatever it is, million-dollar-a-year receiver going forward, you cannot have a ball on a wide-open seam route hit you in the hands like that when it's a walk into the end zone if you just catch it, even though it's not a perfect throw, and have it bounce in the air and have Green Bay intercept that. That's a game-changing
it's
play.
It's a total game. The team put it on Amari. The coaching staff put it on Amari. Like, it's that was a catchable ball. I know it was a little behind him, but there are – I mean, Patrick Mahomes makes throws like that all the time where the ball is a little bit behind guys, and they still come up with it. I mean, I'm seeing the TV here. There's five different replays of throws that he's made. You've got to come up with those catches.
Okay, we have a caller on Jared is on the line on 183. Jared, what are your thoughts here on this?
I'm sorry, it's not Jared, it's Garrett. But I was thinking Dak is throwing the ball more now than he has in the past. I just feel like this is some growing pains to interceptions and everything. And I feel like he'll bounce back.
Yeah, look, I there's definitely growing pains with quarterbacks. And everyone talks about year four. I look at year six. Year six for, like, quarterbacks really don't figure things out to where they are on cruise control by year four. Some do.
I don't even care about that. This is his first year running this style of offense where he hasn't just handed the ball off 40 times a game or whatever.
I know.
I mean, he's played five games in a new system where he's throwing the ball down the field, which is what Cowboys fans have wanted. His QB rating is higher than it's ever been in his career. He's throwing for about 100 yards more per game than his career high before this season. His yards per attempt, 9.4, the highest in his career. So, to me, there's going to be some growing pains that come with this, to your point, Chop. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, okay, he had two bad games against two really good teams. The Packers' run defense is not good, but he was running for his life without Tyron Smith in the game and Lyle Collins playing through injury. And the defensive backfield, I think, in Green Bay is pretty good as well. I'm not freaking out in this situation here. I'm looking at it and I'm saying, I expect him to bounce back this week. I think he is clearly still your guy going forward. I don't understand people who are not satisfied with what they've seen to this point, because once again, the expectations were through the floor for him when he was drafted. And here he is now in year four. And we were talking MVP 2 weeks ago. And then he has two semi-rough games here going forward. I have not seen enough to make me extremely concerned. Remember, some of these interceptions are not his fault either. Okay, the one against the Redskins off the hands of Randall Cobb into the defender's hands. This one against Amari Cooper off his receiver's hands into the defender's hands. The one that he threw to Michael Gallup got decapitated by the defensive back. Should have been off our defensive pass interference, and instead it's an interception and it doesn't get overturned.
There's, I'm sure, five others that were interceptable balls, right, that you throw. Like, there was two in the game that he threw.
But I think he threw them because he knew that there was a penalty called on the play, and he took a shot.
No.
On one of them for sure. I knew that.
One of them, I felt that way.
Yeah. He saw the flag thrown, and he's like, I'm taking a shot now because I know it's a free play.
Right, but you know, when you see a flag thrown as a quarterback, sometimes you don't know what it is. Like, sometimes you can tell that the defense is offsides or whatever. So on one of those, yes, but like on a defensive hold, it could easily be anything. You know, but yes, one of those was one that I think that it was a free play. But, you know, quarterbacks are going to have passes that are bad passes that don't get picked.
Yeah.
Those are – so it evens out.
Of course. It'll even out. It just seems like it hasn't really bounced his way quite as much, even close. We have Justin on the line in Dallas. Justin, your thoughts on Dak Prescott going forward?
Yeah, just kind of what you guys are talking about. I think the perception is so much different if the two balls that come off the receiver's hands that aren't picked and then the defensive holding in Green Bay, if that one's not picked, I think the perception on his stat line is significantly different if you take those balls away.
No question about it. I think it's a great point. And the reason why is I keep going back to that game really swung with two plays to me. Number one, as Justin mentioned, the catch that it wasn't the catch for Amari down the middle that bounces into the Green Bay defender's hands. If he scores a touchdown there, it's a completely different game story, I think, going forward. The second thing is when Dak took the sack in Green Bay territory toward the end of their second drive, and it took him out of field goal range on that 3rd and 7. That was a huge play. And, you know, Cam Fleming just got beat on that play. And people were trying to call that a coverage sack. I went back and watched it again 15 times on the coach's film. And to me, no, that's a play that he had nowhere to move, nowhere to go. I would have loved to have seen, and you were killing me about this in the break. We were talking about a chop. I would have loved to have seen the Cowboys on 3rd and 7 in that situation run the football.
Yeah, I'd have slapped you. I'd have slapped you across the face if I could have.
Green Bay couldn't stop the run at all. They still can't, and they're going to get run over all year long. And I would have loved to you run the football on that play and say, we're going on forward on fourth down no matter what in this circumstance, assuming they gain any yardage.
And which play was this, 3rd and 7?
The 3rd and 7 from the Green Bay about 40-yard line where Dak eventually took the sack, and it took him out of field goal range. And so they ended up having to punt. Green Bay goes down the field and scores. They're up 14-0. That was really the game complete swing, because you go from being potentially up 7-0 to down 14-0. I mean, it's going to change your entire game plan. You throw everything out the window.
What if they get, you know, I mean, you can't run on 3rd and 7, man.
I would have set up in a setup that looked like you're throwing the ball and hand the ball to Zeke and let him do his thing, because Green Bay's run defense is pathetic. I'm with you. I wanted to see the Cowboys throw the ball down the field more this season than they have in years past. But I think game flow has to matter. I think your opponent has to matter.
Of course it does.
Well, and that was the team that you're probably going to run the ball best against all year. Green Bay has been atrocious against
the run. They have been. And I was all for it. I'm okay with that. But on 3rd and 7? Man, that's a bad play.
Only if you're planning on going forward on fourth down and you're in their territory. That's what I'm saying. I think you're getting at least 5 yards per carry at that point.
Who knows? Who knows? I mean, you know, you do a safe pass, you get the safe pass, you do a 5-yard pass to Witten, get it to 4th and 2. Third down runs are great at 3rd and 2. Hmm. You know, like at 3rd and 7, man, I think you're running a big time risk. I think 3rd and 7, honestly, that's a Dak play.
All right.
That's a
the read option,
let Dak,
you know,
run.
Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah. That to me is an amazing play on 3rd.
I wouldn't have minded that, especially with the issues that they've had on the offensive line. So your confidence in Dak hasn't changed. My confidence in Dak hasn't changed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.